Fasten your time machine belts. We're entering a portal to the past to discover erstwhile episodes and historical happenings. Broadcast by KYMN Radio, produced by the Northfield History Center, and hosted by Cosmo Esplin, this is Trek Through Time. Welcome one and all to a brand new episode of Trek Through Time. Thank you very much for joining me on the radio today, KYMN listeners, and maybe Spotify listeners if you're a follower, hint hint. I would like to wish everyone a very happy spring. April is here, and budding flowers are on the horizon after the torrential amounts of rain. And with spring, obviously, comes a lot of exciting events on the horizon, including, if you marked your calendar, today's show. I am very excited, as usual, for our guests to join us today. That's right, I said guests, plural. That's the first hint you'll be receiving as I sprinkle some teases of what's to come later in this show. And you're going to have to wait on who they are, though, obviously, the element of suspense. I'm a big Hitchcock fan. You can probably see why. So we will get to that in just a minute, as usual. But first, it's time to look at what other exciting events are on the horizon over here at the Northfield History Center. You guessed it. It's time for some timely tidings. This is really the most relaxing part of the show. So basically, the biggest thing on the Northfield History Center's agenda is a brand new exhibit focusing on another notable Northfielder. They've been having some trends in their new exhibits as of late, but this year, they decided to kick off their new line of exhibits by focusing on another notable Northfielder named Doug Peterson, known to some as Puppet Peterson. It's a fantastic story. It's really inspiring in a lot of ways, and just so cool to see how this man, who was a elementary school guidance counselor in town for many years, used puppets to teach kids these valuable life lessons. And when you walk into the exhibit, it's like you're walking into some kind of fanciful puppet wonderland. It's really ornately designed and has a lot of sentimental value to it in a lot of ways, so I hope that you'll come down and check that out. Coincidentally enough, that leads into our topic for this month. I know that the drum roll is kind of antiquated, but nonetheless, I will employ it to continue the suspense. So, drum roll, please. Our axis of antiquity for Trek Through Time's April show is the history of Northfield puppets. I think that it was probably somewhat obvious after the clues that I had laid out just a minute ago. I'm very much looking forward to digging more into this subject today, because at first you think, Northfield puppets, what does that even mean? But there's a lot there, believe it or not, only in Northfield, right? There's just a lot of history and fascinating tales within this framework of discovering the history of Northfield puppets. So let's take a look at it. If you were in elementary school in the 70s or 80s, you might remember Dusso the Dolphin, the puppet that came out every once in a while to tell stories when you were in, I don't know, first or second grade. Dusso is actually an acronym. Dusso means Developing Understanding of Self and Others. Man, I love a good acronym. Dusso the Dolphin was a puppet created in 1970 and used by guidance counselors nationwide to incorporate these elementary school themes like cooperation and empathy in terms of children and academia, and getting them to really understand one another and understand their feelings. It was a very vital program for a lot of kids at the time, and it really immersed these children in story with, there are a lot of other characters too, other puppets that we'll talk about later. Northfield's very own beloved local guidance counselor, Doug Peterson, was instrumental in getting to know Dusso and use him for the benefit of others. He taught sixth grade for 3 years and then received a master's in elementary school guidance counseling from the U of M in Duluth, during which he returned to guidance counseling here in Northfield and did that from 1970 to 1998, 28 years of playing with puppets. That's a pretty fun job, I would imagine. And he utilized Dusso and a bunch of other puppets to teach and work with children over several decades, which resulted in many lifelong friendships and connections at the schools. And in doing this, he really impacted innumerable lives, getting these elementary school kids to cooperate and empathize with one another. That takes a pretty special person to be able to do that, and that's what we have in Doug Peterson. As evidenced by the ample amount of awards he's been nominated for or seized, he was vice president of the Minnesota School Counselors Association, MSCA. He was also Minnesota Elementary Guidance Counselor of the Year in 1986, and a runner-up for National Elementary Counselor of the Year in 1987. Pretty incredible. Also, he was nominated in 1991 for the Minnesota Excellence in Education Award. There's a lot of, like, tongue twisters with these. And he's also been active in promoting guidance counseling funding. And, of course, his impact has also left a lot of lasting memories on many Northfielders in town. They can probably tell you about how Doug Peterson would bring out Dusso every now and then and tell these stories that still stick in their brain. Something about the "Hey Dusso, come on out" song that just sticks with you. I just heard it the other day and I can't get it out of my head for some reason. So Dusso was very popular nationwide during this time of Doug's elementary school guidance counseling, and he paired well with Doug to create a lasting influence on these students. Unfortunately, Dusso was discontinued due to lack of funding after Doug's retirement, but Doug nonetheless remains a true townie, remembered and commemorated for his calm and kind personality and vital role in many Northfielders' lives through the use of important life lessons. So he is definitely a true notable Northfielder, and many can attest to this. So I think that that is a perfect segue into who our memoir maestros will be this month. You guessed it, none other than Doug Peterson, joined by his wife Mary Kay Peterson. I'm very much looking forward to this interview. I called Mary Kay and Doug not too long ago, and I had my fingers crossed that they would be willing to come in and talk about this, and they were all over it. So I'm very excited to get their perspective. I'm excited to hear from Doug, since he's a puppet virtuoso, and I have a love for puppets myself, and just his role as an iconic Northfield figure, and none other to accompany that viewpoint than his wife Mary Kay, Doug's longtime supporter, and a first-hand witness of the fruits of Doug's labor. So that's right, it's time to head back in time with Doug Peterson and Mary Kay Peterson to discover the history of Northfield puppets. Well, thank you so much, Doug and Mary Kay, for entering the time machine with us today and going back in time to look back at the history of Northfield puppets and your career, Doug. I was just telling you right before we started rolling how I became familiar with your line of work when the History Center put up the exhibit. We'll talk a little bit more about the exhibit later. But I thought, you know what? I want to meet that guy and get his perspective, and I want to meet his wife too and see what she has to say. So I'm glad we're doing this. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, thanks for the chance to share some things. The program was one that was here in the community a long time, so yes, it's something worth talking about.
Oh yeah, absolutely, a very vital part of the community. And Doug, maybe you want to touch a little bit on your early life and how you made it to Northfield.
We came to Northfield because of the community itself. We just knew it was such a nice spot to go, mm-hmm. and it was an opportunity to be able to work in the program that I wanted to, and so we ended up coming here.
Yeah, and it's a great town for that, for sure. Lots of opportunities. Where did you grow up? Because you didn't originally grow up in Northfield.
I grew up in St. James.
Okay.
Minnesota.
All right. Yeah, so you're a Minnesotan by heart.
I am.
Yeah, that's great. And then Mary Kay, maybe you want to talk a little bit about your life before Northfield and how you met Doug and when you guys got married.
I also am from St. James, and we met in high school. We're high school sweethearts. We were married in 1961. I had to stop and think.
64 years. Congratulations.
Right, right. And thank you. We moved to Westbrook, Minnesota, where Doug had his first teaching job. for a couple of years, and then an opportunity came up in Northfield, a teaching opportunity for fifth grade, and so we moved to Northfield then in 1966, and we feel like locals. We really love the community.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And you guys have any kids together?
We do. We have two children, a son, Jeff, who is married to Mary, and they live in Prior Lake, and they have four children. Mm-hmm. And our daughter, Jody, who's married to Rich, and they both have just recently retired and are living in Little Falls, and they have two children.
Six grandchildren. That's pretty fun, I bet.
Yeah, they really
and we
are.
Have two great-grandchildren.
Oh, wow.
Also, so that's adds to everything.
Yeah, for sure. Big family. Do you ever take out the puppets, Doug, to try and impress the grandkids or the great-grandkids?
I really haven't. They're in my office area, so they're in the house, but I really haven't, the kids haven't really played with them.
Mm-hmm, sure.
But they know the stories.
Yeah. Right, right. I want to also segue into your career as an elementary school guidance counselor. You did that job for 28 years. Pretty impressive. So what really drew you to working with kids and puppets in particular?
The puppetry part kind of was an accident. It wasn't something that I set out to do. I wanted to be a counselor. There was a program that was just starting, the DUSO, Developing Understanding of Self and Others.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a box of things that was complete so that you could start a program, run a program, had everything in it. And I was able to convince the community that that having an elementary counselor would be something that would be a very worthwhile position, because there are so many kids that are growing up and in need of just some direction, some suggestions and whatever for them to keep going down the road. To start the guidance program was really something. There was there were just a few elementary counselors in the entire state. Hopkins
really?
Had six counselors, and that was the big program. And then there, the rest of us were just individuals here and there around the state. So it was not a usual program, but it was. I was very fortunate that the community decided that it was worth it to have an elementary counselor. And it gave me an opportunity then to work in every elementary building. So Dundas, Castle Rock, Washington, Sibley, Longfellow, and Greenville Park.
I was not aware that there was not a guidance counselor position before you came to town.
No,
so
it was something that I had been to Florida, actually, for one of the meetings that they had there. And that was a place that I became more interested in finding out more about what was going on in the country.
Doug's program actually was a first-time program at the U of Minnesota Duluth campus. And he went there on a fellowship program for a master's degree. Mm-hmm. And that's where we spent a year in Duluth while he was very intense master's program. Then he presented his program to the Northfield School Board and such, and they decided to hire him on as elementary guidance counselor.
Oh, so wow.
That's the beginning of it.
Yeah, I'm sure that was probably a pretty good experience in Duluth up there at the U of M, huh? Yeah.
It was. It was a great experience.
Mm-hmm.
I was a part of a group that had been chosen from around the United States. Mm. So we were a special group that was going through, and there not many of them actually made it into counseling because it was very difficult at that time to find a job.
Mm-hmm.
But we came back to Northfield and started it. So
yeah, I love that you decided to come back to Northfield. You have endless possibilities on the horizon, but you decided to focus that career in Northfield and make it happen. When did you first hear about DUSO? You mentioned that the program was just starting up as you were beginning your guidance counseling career. So what facilitated your use of classic character DUSO?
The program didn't become available, I think it was 1970, mm-hmm. actually, when that first box came out. And it was an opportunity for me to get the whole thing. In that box were the stories, and I could take the book and bring it to a classroom, sit in front of them, put the book on my knee, and they would be sitting on the floor, and I could flip the pages. I had a tape that actually spoke what was going on. Mm-hmm. And so all I did is flip the pages, and we would go through. But kids were just enamored with puppets and the fact that Matt Dusso could talk and be able mm-hmm. to tell the whole story, and a Jayhawk could be a part of things too. It was an incredible gift. And I found that puppetry was an exceptional way to reach into the lives of young people, mm-hmm. Because they listened, and they knew it was a puppet. They knew that it was not life, but they never really remembered that. As soon as the story would start and the puppets would do their thing, they were in a world of their own. And that's the one thing with puppetry, is that and it really does reach right into the heart of a person. So.
Yeah, it's a great communication tool, I'm sure, for speaking these life lessons through a dolphin puppet, right? Who would ever guess? You've talked before about the power of the puppet.
Right.
And I love that phrase. I understand that too, because when I was younger, I was big on stuffed animals.
Okay.
So sure. There's still a certain lion at home named Ralph that some of my more direct family members probably know about. Yeah, and it's so cool how you can just pretend that something inanimate is animate and is alive, right, and can teach these stories. What do you think that is? Is it just the element of imagination? Or?
Absolutely. Kids have that, mm-hmm. and it's something that is a true gift, and we kind of lose it as we age. You have to step back sometimes, and you can imagine that here I was a full-grown man, but I believed in puppetry to the nth degree. If I thought that the puppets had some value and I was willing to come by and spend a half hour in a classroom going through something, then they also understood that, wow, you know, mm-hmm. Dusso and Jayhawk were really important to them.
Mary Kay, what was it like being able to witness that spectacle, if you will?
It was fun to watch, because he was so engrossed in it and so adamant about what he was doing. He was 100% behind it and loved what he was doing, mm-hmm. and that showed.
Yeah.
It showed a man of integrity, and he knew what he wanted and how to help kids mm-hmm. and parents.
Yeah, and parents too. That's a very special skill, to be able to reach into the mind of a child, in a sense, because yep. not a lot of people can do that. So it's a great talent to possess. You utilized quite a cast of characters. There are a lot of different puppets that you used and everything. What were some of your favorites?
Well, of course, Dusso the Dolphin and mm-hmm. Jayhawk were two. Snoopy. It was a big dog. Mm-hmm. It was one that was made by a woman here in Northfield.
Oh, really?
For me.
Oh, cool.
So it was a big deal. I had different ones that circulated through and so on. Mm-hmm. But Dusso and Jayhawk were the groundwork.
The lead actors.
They were. I had a routine that I went to over 60 classrooms. With all the different buildings, with Dundas, Castle Rock, and then the four elementary schools here in town. I got to travel to all of these. Wherever they went, wherever the puppets went, kids were very interested in having them come out and mm-hmm. be a part of it.
It's interesting because when you were doing it, for the most part, it was before the age of the internet. Nonetheless, I think today the message still resonates with a lot of kids. You know, with the puppets, you would think that, you know, maybe puppets would cease to exist after Google started or whatnot, yeah. but, you know, they're still there, and yeah. They still have their purpose, for sure. Yeah.
and they'll always be there as long as there are imaginations.
I'm curious, Mary Kay, what was it like seeing the kids engrossed in it?
I was never in the classroom.
You weren't? Okay. I wasn't sure if you ever visited or anything.
No,
okay.
I had a full-time job at St. Olaf College during this time. And
what was your position?
I was an office manager in the math department for an international program in Budapest, Hungary.
Was
the greater part of my job. Before that, I was a secretary in the math department.
Well, I'm doing some mathematics right now as a course, so maybe you can give me some tips and tricks later. But you probably just heard about the impact of Doug's work through other members of the community then?
I did. Mm-hmm. I did. He was invited to some of the churches. You gave sessions on parenting.
Right.
Like a presentation?
A presentation, right. In between church services kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I did go to some of those. They were powerful.
After, you know, seeing the change in these kids and whatnot, how do you communicate that to parents?
Parents know, too, with their own kids, how to really speak to them and talk with them and deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
But the puppets had a special charm. They just had a chance to kind of be kids. Using their imaginations is one of the most important things, and that's what happened.
And especially in school too, because it's still helping them develop and learn, which is the purpose of education, but
sure.
in a more unique and kind of fun way.
Right.
So
teachers would write it on their list of the daily activities,
mm-hmm.
and then they would be, the day that I would be coming to their classroom, it'd be written there,
mm-hmm.
so that the kids would know that at 2 o'clock I'm going to be showing up for a half hour in their classroom. They really looked forward to it.
These are stories I heard from Doug that the kids, of course, they want to hug Dusso or Snoopy or whatever, and so they were very well used in lots of ways with the kids, and they loved it.
I'm sure that it's a very rewarding job, too.
It was a fantastic job.
Mm-hmm.
It gave me an opportunity every day to be in my own little world, too,
mm-hmm.
Because I was able to do some things that that were very special, and I knew they were, and I got to see it. You can well imagine how many times that, you know, I would be able to see the kids get really excited about being able to talk with Dusso and to ask questions or whatever. It was something to behold.
Yeah, I'm really interested in the power of story, and you see that a lot of ways through art. I guess you could say that art is the adult's imagination, in a sense, and so that was your form of art, I would say, but it changes from generation to generation, and with kids, puppetry is one of those art forms that just speaks to them. I remember that you were telling a story on the video that's playing up in the museum. You did some special needs work, correct, at one of those schools, and there was a little girl who jumped up on your lap, and you took out the puppet, and she was just talking to it, and that's got to be so cool.
It is, because she believed it,
mm-hmm.
and what she believed was that she was going to be able to get an answer and talk with the puppet.
And then, obviously, you've also been active in pushing for guidance counselor funding across the years, and you've had a lot of awards. What do those advocacy and awards mean to you?
Well, it means that that there is true value to it. It's not just something that is an add-on to an education. We do have to have our own way of understanding all of the parts of life and be able to separate reality from things that aren't real. And kids learn that over a period of time. And it's fun to watch them.
And then Mary Kay, what was your reaction when you heard that your husband won the Minnesota Counselor of the Year Award?
It was amazing. It was well-deserved, I felt.
Mm-hmm.
And he was extremely happy with that.
Very affirming, I'm sure.
It was very affirming.
I was not alive then, but I would have voted for you as well. So
thank you.
Yes. And then so you retired in 1998. And went back to teaching for a few years after that, right? So what was that like, the transition from guidance counselor to teacher?
Oh, it was definitely a change. I loved my job because of the kids. And so this was another job as a teacher. And so I still had the kids there. It was a great run for me. I really felt that I was well-equipped to be able to work in a classroom and to be effective as a teacher. And so having that feeling, I forged ahead and went right at it.
Mary Kay, obviously a lot of people know you guys in town. So many kids grew up with Doug in the classroom. Mm-hmm. Have there been any other, you know, community activities that you guys have participated in over the years?
Doug was very active in Sertoma organization. At the time, it was a men's organization. Down the road, a ways, women were admitted into the Sertoma. It was a great run for Doug. He held numerous positions in Sertoma. Sertoma is a service to mankind, is what it stands for. Mm-hmm. And he was a charter member of that Sertoma group that started in Northfield. But it ran for a long time. It's no longer in mm-hmm. operating now.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah, that's interesting too, because when I get to talk to people like you guys, you mentioned different organizations mm-hmm. that, you know, haven't existed in my time, and mm-hmm. But have done their fair share of work as well. So now that we've basically touched on a lot of your careers in puppets and guidance counseling, I want to talk a little bit about the exhibit, because that sure. was what prompted this interview. Mary Kay, when did you get the phone call from Sean or whoever mm-hmm. it was at the History Center that they wanted to focus on your husband?
Actually, it happened during Jesse James days of last year. We were just leaving the parade area, and Sean, I believe it was Sean or Mark, mm-hmm. saw us downtown and said, "Hey, come with me. I want to show you something." And we followed him into the Historical Society, ran upstairs, and there sat a group of people, and he said, "Look who I found on the street." And so they were just talking about Doug and about doing an exhibit on it, and that's the first that we heard about it.
Wow.
And it was just jaw-dropping for us. Yeah,
yeah, I'm sure. And lucky for Sean or Mark to come across you guys and
right.
just be able to bring you on up. So when you filmed the video that's playing upstairs, I mentioned a few times, did you know that all those special guests were going to be there, or was that a surprise?
Some of it was a surprise, mm-hmm. and others I figured would be there. So.
And one part of it is that it was in the old building where Doug started as a fifth grade teacher.
Mm-hmm.
It then was the old middle school before Carlton.
Oh, okay. Interesting. I was wondering where it was filmed.
So, yeah. And in his upstairs classroom, so which looks a lot different now than what it did back then.
Right.
But that was kind of cool to have it taped there, where he started teaching in Northfield before elementary guidance counselor, because that was for 4 years, and then we moved to Duluth in 1969 for his master's program.
Okay, so that was back in the late 60s
right,
then.
Yep.
Yeah. Have you guys seen the exhibit?
Yes, we have.
Yes.
What was your reaction?
It's amazing. Mm-hmm. It is so well done, and a real tribute.
Mm-hmm. I'm really thankful because not to bolster my personality or whatever, but for the kids of Northfield to realize how important it was that the adults in the lives here of students decided that having an elementary guidance program was a valuable thing, because there were very few of us around,
mm-hmm.
and to have that program really was special, and it did help a lot of kids in a lot of different ways that we'll never ever know. But the power of the puppet to get their attention was incredible. I was impressed with the amount of information that you can pass through to children through the use of a puppet, because there is something very, very special that goes on in your brain in order to make that puppet come alive and have some value, that what they have to say is worth remembering.
Very well put. And then, of course, I also want to mention the grand opening. The exhibit's been actually open for a while, but they're doing kind of a gala of sorts on April 28th from 5 to 8 p.m. Are you guys going to be down there by any chance? Will people be able to see you?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Yeah,
yeah. We will be there.
I'm sure a lot of people are going to want to visit with you about the power of the puppet and so on.
It'll be really a great time to reminisce, because what will be the difficult part is that there will be people that will come up and speak to me. And the last time I saw them, they were young.
Right.
And
yeah.
Trying to figure out who they are will be impossible. But it will be really satisfying to hear some of the things that they have to say.
All right. Well, we're coming to the close of our podcast portion of this. I always finish up by doing a few quick questions. I call a lightning round real quick. So they're just short questions followed by short answers.
Okay.
First of all, I'm curious, did you ever watch The Muppets?
I have, but yeah, okay. It's not something that's special to me, no.
Okay. You find Dusso more entertaining than Kermit? Favorite puppet character that you would use in the classroom?
I guess Puff the Magic Dragon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Mary Kay, you've said you were never in the classroom, but you've probably seen a lot of the puppets at home. Do you have a favorite one just from looking at it?
Well, starting out, I guess it would be Jayhawk.
Okay.
You know, I can't say a special reason why, but it's just the character.
Favorite Dusso story? Was there like a particular tale that you would tell that you particularly liked?
Probably the introductory story, where they introduced all the different members of the book. The puppets then really became realistic, because they not only showed up on paper, they showed up in the brains and minds of young people.
I think that there's a video on KYMN Radio's old YouTube channel from, it's got to be about 15 years ago or so. I think you were in the studio that day and you brought some of the puppets and were telling like a firefighter story or something like that. People should go and look it up. It's got like 8,000 views or something like that, which is pretty good. So a lot of kids remember you. And then last one for lightning round, is there a particular favorite memory you have across your 30-ish years of teaching or guidance counseling?
It is in meeting the adults now and being able to go back and to be a part of their history and to spend even just a moment chit-chatting is really an exciting time for me, because I realize they considered it worth their time to stop and talk to a counselor that from way back when.
Mm-hmm.
But I really have appreciated that, and being in the community and having lived here a long time, I have lots of opportunities in many different ways to run into my former students.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always felt a kinship when we meet.
That's a very special thing, and you had your wife sitting right by you for 64 years, I think I calculated, so it's a great adventure to have, I'm sure. But
I've been very fortunate. When all is said and done, we have lived a great life and been very interested in being a part of the community at all times, and we hope it continues.
Yes, and I'm sure it will. This is the conclusion of our podcast interview. Doug and Mary Kay were kind enough to bring in Jayhawk and Dusso themselves, some replicas, and we have some photos on the table. So I hope that you listeners will tune into the video portion of this. Until then, thank you, Doug and Mary Kay, for joining me on Trek Through Time today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The power of the puppet indeed. Well, what a fantastic interview with two fantastic guests. I want to thank Doug Peterson and his wife Mary Kay Peterson very much for coming into the studio today and talking about Doug's career in elementary school guidance counseling. It was a great conversation, and I'll admit, more in depth than I thought it was going to be on the power of these valuable life lessons being communicated to kids. So also thank you to Northfield History Center producers Sean Allen, Mark Thornton, and Alexis Kraft. Come on down and check out the new exhibit on Doug. It's a goodie. Also, thank you to Rich Larson for broadcasting at KYMN Radio, Sam Temple at Northfield Public Broadcasting for airing the Extra Explorations bonus content. You can check out the video where Doug, Mary Kay, and myself take a look at Duso and Jayhawk that Doug brought, as well as some images and highlights. And also thank you to my parents for always supporting me. And you can keep an eye out for our new time capsules. I hope to do one on walking through the exhibit and showing what it's all about. So keep an eye out for that on Facebook. Of course, I always leave you off with a pioneer of the past. And frankly, I think it's pretty obvious where a pioneer of the past is this month. Mr. Doug Puppet Peterson. So it's fascinating to hear these stories about Doug and Duso and the puppets from people who firsthand witnessed them, but it's another thing entirely to hear it from Doug. And that's only cemented my belief that he is a local legend for the fact that he spent his career doing this to benefit others while also immersing himself in the story is a really special thing, and one that has had an immeasurable impact on much of Northfield. He is a true notable Northfielder, and I want to thank you again, Doug, for all of the work that you've done across the years. You've certainly earned an exhibit's worth of it, and hopefully you've learned a little bit yourself today from different stories that Doug Peterson has told. And the lesson I've learned today is to never forget the wonder of imagination. This has been Voyage 12 of Trek Through Time. I'm your host, Cosmo Esplin. We'll be back here in May with a show focusing on the St. Olaf Band with authors Susan Vistendahl and Jeff Savey. But until then, remember to make history happen.